The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 3, text number 21, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on June 11th, 2008, in Melbourne, Australia.
So, tonight, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 3, text number 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yad yad acharati shrestas.
Yad yad acharati shrestas.
Tattande vetaro jana. Sayat pramanam kurute.
Sayat pramanam kurute.
Lokastadanuvartate.
Lokastadanuvartate.
Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures, like Manu Samhita and similar others, are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of self-realization. The king or the executive head of a state, the father and the school teacher, are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. Shri Guru, Shri Jata, Bada Kamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavam, Shri Rupa, Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. So, at the present moment, this entire planet is in chaotic condition. Why is that? Because they are not following the acharyas. It is stated in the Shastra that one must follow the pathway of the good acharyas. Mahajano yena gatatsa pantha. One must follow the great Mahajanas. And Krishna here is saying, actually, if there is a great soul, a great acharya on this planet, everyone will become attractive. So, we have some critics called the Vritvik people. They say that the only acharya we had is now gone. In Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta. So we have no acharyas on the planet now. But what did Prabhupada say? And nobody said in Mayapur. He said, now we are 10,000. And then we will grow to 100,000. And then we will grow to 1,000,000. And then we will grow to 10,000,000. There will be no scarcity of acharyas. So what does that mean for each and every person in this room? This means you have to become an acharya, each and every one of you. Every Prabhu and Mataji here has to become an acharya. That is Prabhupada's vision for this movement. That's it. So if we want to follow the pathway of the greatest acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, then each and every one of us must become acharya. One who sets an ideal example of what is Krishna consciousness. By his every thought, by his every word, and by his every deed in all times, places, and circumstances. Are you ready? Are you willing? Or do you want to remain a sense gratifier? The choice is up to you. No one is going to force you. But you are duty-bound to become an acharya if you want to actually follow Prabhupada. He wants everyone to become an acharya, an ideal example of Krishna bhakti. This is how our movement will be successful, when we actually produce thousands and millions of acharyas. That will be the success of our movement. So someone may say, oh, why should I become an acharya? I mean, you know, I have to worry about paying my bills. I have all these other duties. I think this is a little too much. Sankarshan Prabhu is being too demanding here. Come on, give me a break, Sankarshan Prabhu. Stop putting all this pressure on me. Can't you just say Hari Bol, you know, let it go at that? Well, no, I can't. If I'm being given the honor and respect of being a spiritual master, then I have to preach according to the parampara. I can't invent some new, watered-down, you know, 2008 version of Krishna consciousness that's pleasing to the senses. Prabhupada has presented it as it is, and it is my duty to also present it as it is. Even if it seems too heavy for you, I have to somehow present it to you as it is. Of course, even if it is too heavy, I have to find a way to get it in to your heart. It's called candy coating. Get the pill somehow in. So you agree to swallow it, see? I had to candy coat it very, very nicely. So even though it seems, you may think, this is too big of a pill for me to swallow, but it's the candy coating is so sweet, okay, I'll go ahead and swallow it. You see? This is the expertise of Acharya, you see. They know how to preach according to time, place, and circumstance. How to make that message attractive to the audience. The message is not changed, you see. But the style of presentation is very, just like today in our morning class. By the way, I'm giving class tomorrow morning and the day after tomorrow morning also at 7:30 a.m. Please, as many as you as possible, come and bring your friends, your neighbors, your prime minister, everybody. Let's make a revolution here in Melbourne, that the whole world can become delivered from chaotic condition. So anyway, this gentleman would say, what you should say to a newcomer about Krishna consciousness? I said, it depends on the individual. There's no standard line that you can, you know, of course we have some standard lines, but they have to be, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we're His eternal servants. I mean, that's a standard truth. But how you present that to an individual depends on that individual person. If we're going to tell others about Krishna, we have to be sensitive to what is their mentality, what is their mood, where are they coming from, what is their culture, what is their belief system. You see, we have to tune in to where people are at so we can tailor fit the presentation just for them. You can go to, you have, what is your big department store here in Melbourne called?
Coles.
You have Coles here also?
Not Coles. It's Coles. C-O-L-E.
Oh, Coles. Okay. We have K-O-H-L-S in the U.S. They pronounce it the same way. You have Coles department store. So, you can go to Coles and get a business suit. You see, suit and tie, you know. Coat and pants, you see. And it'll be a fairly good suit. You get the waist, you know, the basic measurements. But if you go to a tailor, you see, and he measures precisely every part of your body, and he makes you a suit, it'll be much better fitting than what you get at Kohl's, you see. So Krishna consciousness should be tailored to the individual. When you're trying to tell someone about Krishna, you should understand what is their mentality, you see, and present it according to their mentality in a way that they can understand and appreciate it. This is how we can be more successful in our preaching. It's called Desha Kala Patra, time, place, and circumstance. One should be very, very conscious of the situation, the person, and present Krishna consciousness in a certain way for that particular circumstance. But, as this verse says, but the most important thing is you have to be practicing it yourself. In other words, to whatever degree you're practicing Krishna consciousness, to that degree you will be effective to inspire others to do it. If you're into it a little bit, well, you can inspire other people to get into it a little bit. If you're into it a lot, you can inspire other people to get into a lot. If you're totally, completely sold out to Krishna, you see, completely surrendered soul, a pure devotee, you see, one who has given up all material desires and has no desire except to please Guru and Krishna. If you're like that, then you can make similar people. Sangat Sanjayate Kama. one's consciousness is developed according to his association. So if you become completely sold out devotee of Krishna, you see, then you can inspire other people to do the same thing. Whatever example you set, you will inspire other people to do the same thing. So the only way our movement will be successful is if we start having more and more acharyas, the ideal examples of Krishna consciousness manifest within our midst. You see? Who don't want to mix Krishna consciousness with sense gratification. Ahaitakiya pratiyata yayadma supersedati. Bhagavatam said. You know the verse? That devotional service must be completely free of any material motives and it must be 24 hours a day without any interruptions in order to completely satisfy the self. If we mix devotional service with other activities, we're not going to be fully satisfied. If we want to do other devotional service and then do other things, it means we don't understand what is devotional service. It means we don't understand the difference between the material and spiritual energies. Of course, we welcome everyone to our movements. Don't misunderstand. Everyone's welcome. Whatever level you're at, you're welcome to participate. But we have to understand the standard of pure bhakti is where the real nectar is, you see. As long as we're mixing devotional service with material sense gratification, we're not getting the full nectar. So how much nectar do you want? Do you want 10%, 20%, 50%? How much nectar would you like? 100%? You want 100% nectar? Then you got to surrender 100%. Ye yata mang prapadyante tangs tataya vajamyaham. Krishna says, inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So, everyone's welcome. But everybody should know, I'm going to taste the nectar according to how much I'm willing to surrender. Everyone should know that. To whatever degree I'm willing to surrender, that much nectar I'm going to take. So what if you do? What do you do then if you're in a position where you'd like to get more nectar, but you're just so attached to material sense gratification, it's hard to give it up? What to do then? How do you deal with that? Anybody have any ideas? What do you do then? Yeah, it's simple principle. Just like in India, we see that not so many people have automobiles, you see. But many people have bicycles. I many times just give this example. It's a good example. So, they have a long way to pedal every day to go from their village to the place where they work, see. So how are they going to get there? It's tons of pedaling, you know, so many kilometers. But it's very simple. They just grab onto a bus or a truck, you know, get a free ride, you see. So there's no problem. They can easily get to work quickly and easily. Of course, in Melbourne, if you try to do that, the police will give you a big ticket, a big fat ticket. What are you doing? You can't do this. This is dangerous, you see. But in India, no problem, you see. So that is the simple formula. If you know you're stuck in the muck of sense gratification, you know you'd like to get out of it, but you don't feel you have the power to do it, then what do? You just grab on to someone who's advanced in Krishna consciousness. That is called guru, you see. You just grab on to a bona fide spiritual master and hang on for the ride, you see. And by that holding on to a bona fide spiritual master, that by his potency you become delivered. It's a very simple thing. It's called taking shelter. That's why Rupa Goswami says, Adhau Gurashrayam. The very first principle is that you should take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. It's the very first principle. Step number one. Sometimes in ISKCON we de-emphasize that, but it's not really what Rupa Goswami said. He said the very first thing you should do when you take up Krishna consciousness is take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. That's where it begins. Because as soon as you do that, then it becomes a very easy thing. In Germany, one young man, he asked me, he said, I'm afraid to take initiation because I'm afraid that, you know, I won't be able to keep the principle. I said, all you have to do is find a guru who's powerful enough to empower you to follow the principles. That's all you have to do. I mean, on our own, do we have the strength to conquer these sinful activities? Not really. We require the mercy of guru. Without his mercy, how we can even follow the principles? Especially those of us who are from the Western countries. Of course, now in India, everybody's coming westernized. There's practically no difference nowadays, the younger generation. But the key is that you have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. By doing that, you become empowered by him to easily follow the principle, by the mercy of guru, you see. What is that shloka? Very nice shloka. That, let's see, how does it begin about the crossing the mountain? Mukam karoti vachalam pangum namyakate girim yat kripa tamahang bande shi guru dinataranam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man who can't even walk, he can cross over a steep mountain. Can you imagine how if a lame man could cross a mountain? Or a dumb man, someone who is not able to speak, who has no speaking ability, but now he can deliver eloquent speeches, you see, by the mercy of Guru, you see. One can speak very eloquently, give amazingly attractive lectures, you see. And he can walk, even though he could not walk. This is all by them. So, by the mercy of Guru, one can follow these principles. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. Why? Because by the mercy of Guru, you get higher taste. If I give you $1 million, you'll be very happy, I'm sure. If I handed you $1 million cashier's check, and I said, this is yours now. Would you be happy? Of course you'd be delighted. Wow, $1 million, I can retire in style, you see. Made out to Andrew Gibson, you see. $1 million cashier's check. I said, well, I was only joking. April Fools. You go, oh, you'd be so disappointed. I thought I was really getting it. But I said, here's the deal. You give it back to me, I'll give you a cashier's check for $1 billion, you see. Say, oh, no problem, you'll tear up that $1 million immediately. No problem, you see. $1 billion. So, this is Krishna consciousness, you see. Your material sense gratification, it is $1 million. And everyone feels it is very valuable, whatever sense gratification they have. Even the pauper, if he has a penny, he thinks it's a wonderful thing. The pauper is proud of his penny, you see. Whatever sense gratification we've somehow gotten due to our past pious activities, we think this is great, you know, I have this house, I have this car, I've got this wife, I got this husband, I got these kids, I got my living room, I got my furniture, I got my stereo system, you know. We all have our own little nests, you know, like the bird has his nest. Each one of us has our little bird nest that we're very proud of and we think is a great place. Except for the brahmacharis, they just sleep on the floor. But, you know, the blessing, that's another whole story, the blessing the brahmachari got. But, actually, that's a whole other matter. Actually, brahmachari is the real essence of Vedic culture. This is an important side note. But we have five kinds of brahmacharis. You know that? There's five kinds of brahmacharis in the Vedic culture. You know what they are? I'll tell you. There's a brahmachari. There's a brahmacharini brahmachari, grihastha brahmachari, vanaprastha brahmachari, and sannyas brahmachari. These are the five kinds of brahmacharya in the Vedic culture. Actually, brahmacharya is the whole foundation on which Vedic culture is based. So wherever we see a brahmacharya, our hearts dance in ecstasy. But here is the foundation of the whole Vedic culture. You see. This person, what he is doing is the foundation of the whole Vedic culture. So we're very happy to have our brahmacharis. We give them all encouragement. Actually, grihasthas, they are meant to maintain the brahmacharis. They are meant to work very hard, and live very simply, and support the brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis, that is Vedic culture. So those who are working, who are earning money, they should give all support to these men who, and these ladies also now, who are just fully dedicated to preaching. They should be fully supported nicely. But anyway, getting back to the $1 million and the $1 billion, Krishna consciousness, once you actually taste it and experience what it is, then all the pleasures of this material existence, they just dwindle into insignificance. It's not, in other words, Krishna consciousness is not some dry renunciation of happiness. That, this is my happiness, I can't tolerate to give it up. No, it's not like that. That for the Mayavadis is like that, you see. Neti, neti, you have to deny this, deny that, deny, deny, deny. No. Krishna consciousness is not a negation of your happiness. Don't misunderstand that you have to give up being happy to be Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness means that you move to higher and 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 higher, you know, like that. Levels of happiness. As you go deeper, 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 deeper into bhakti, you go to higher and higher and higher and higher levels of consciousness. That's what it really means. You ever been gone to the airport, and, you know, you're flying out of Melbourne, you know, it's a gray, dreary, nasty day, you see. But as soon as that airplane takes off, you know, it breaks through the clouds, and wow, it's a beautiful sunny day. It's amazing. I thought it was a dreary, cloudy day, but the whole time it was a beautiful sunny day. You see? So Krishna Bhakti is like that. You know what is the airplane? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you're feeling depressed, if you're down and out, feeling morose, you got the blues, as they say, if you can't handle, you know, your mind is disturbed, all you have to do is take shelter, get on the airplane, the Hare Krishna, fly Hare Krishna Airlines, you see. It'll get you there on time in grand style. Just get on, buy yourself a ticket on Hare Krishna Airlines and take off on the mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And you'll see that actually transcendental bliss was always the unlimited ocean of transcendental bliss was always there at every moment in your life. It was always there. You just didn't know it. You just didn't have the access to it. But now, by the mercy of Hare Krishna mantra, you have the access to that unlimited ocean of bliss at every minute. I don't care if you're at work. I don't care if you're in a traffic jam. I don't care if you're at the doctor's office, at the grocery store, at the temple. I don't care where you are, if you're a student, I don't care where you are, you see. This mantra is available for you. If you will take shelter of this Hare Krishna mantra, then you will enter into that ocean, Namamrita Sindhu, the ocean of the nectar of the name. And you can sport in that ocean for how long? 20 minutes? An hour? No, for all of eternity. Beginning right now, you can sport in that ocean of the nectar of the name, beginning right now for all of eternity, and never leave that ocean. Would you like that? Or do you want to go back to the misery of material existence again, thinking, I feel more comfortable there? What do you think? Would you like to dive into the ocean of the unlimited nectar of the name right now and never come out and stay there forever? Huh? Yes? Okay. Well, that's what I've come here to teach you how to do. I've come here to teach you how to dive into that ocean, you see, and never come out ever again. Stay in that ocean of unlimited nectar. But you have to desire it. That's the first thing. If you don't desire it, you won't be able to do it. You have to desire it. I really want to dive into that ocean of unlimited, the unlimited nectar of the name, and remain there eternally and never come back again to the world of misery. Now don't worry, your house will still be there. All right? And this is on the spiritual level I'm talking about. Not that you go to your office and find out you've been laid off because you're too spiritual. I'm not saying that. Actually, the more you become Krishna conscious, the more you become expert in everything. Why? Because Krishna is the sustaining power that runs everything. Even the, you know, Krishna is holding up the city of Melbourne right now. Did you know that? Matak parataram nyanyat kanchirasti dananjaya mai sarvamidam pratam sutri mani ganaiva. Krishna says, O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything, including the city of Melbourne, I'm adding that one. Just to make the point, it's a purport, you know. Including the city of Melbourne, rests upon me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung upon a thread. The whole existence depends on Krishna. What happens, just we don't wear pearls, but we wear this kanti mala. You see, what happens if you pull the thread out of your kanti mala and all the beads fall over the floor, isn't it? So Krishna is like the string that holds together your kanti mala. And the kanti mala, the whole material existence is like a big kanti mala. You see the beach, the street out here, the houses, the lights, the power system, the sewage system. Everything is being held. It's a big, like a big bunch of beads on, you know, a string, and Krishna is holding the whole thing together. So do you think if you get more strongly connected with the string that now you'll become materially inept, unable to function in the material existence? No. You will be more solidly rooted, more solidly connected with that which holds everything together. Therefore, Arjuna became even more expert warrior after he surrendered to Krishna. So what I'm saying is this, whatever you are, if you're a lawyer, a doctor, an Indian chief, whatever you may be, a cook, an investment broker, whatever you may be, the more you become Krishna conscious, you will not really Krishna conscious, in the real sense of the term, of fully surrendered to Krishna, yat karoshi yadashnasi yajdahosi dadasiya. You will become more and more expert at dealing with the material energy. That's my point. Some people have this perception, the more you're spiritual, the more you become an incompetent misfit to deal with the material nature. When I first became a grihastha, the temple authority said, well, now you have to work a job. So I took some training and in computer programming, and I went to one famous company which is known for really working their employees really hard, EDS, Ross Perot's Computer Consulting Company. I went there and applied, and I didn't have any... I'd always been a brahmacharya. I never really worked anywhere. So what are you supposed to put on your resume? So I put Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, you see. I was a representative of Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. That was my resume. And as soon as the hiring authority at EDS looked at it, oh, Bhaktivedanta, that's something from India. Well, you're not really qualified to work here because you wouldn't be aggressive. Of course, that's illegal that he did that. I could have taken him to court over them. I didn't want to work there anyway, so I didn't worry about it. But the perception is, if you're into bhakti and Vedanta, you're incompetent to work a job that requires aggressive mentality. That was his perception. You're not really fit to work at our company if you're from bhakti Vedanta. That was his vision, but that's completely untrue. Because Arjuna became the most aggressive warrior on the battlefield. You see. And look at that Hanuman, how aggressive he was. He burned the whole city down. He set the whole city on fire. Actually, there's nobody more aggressive than a Vaishnava. One who is actually fixed in Vaishnava qualities, there's nobody more aggressive. Is it? Actually, one of our devotees, when he applied for a job, and he, instead of trying to hide that he was a devotee, he said, "Yes, I'm a Hare Krishna, and my philosophy is that we want to achieve world domination." That's what he put in his resume. That we want to, I'm Hare Krishna, and my philosophy is that that Hare Krishna should dominate the whole world. He put world domination down on his resume, and they hired him. We may not agree with his philosophy, but he liked his aggressive mood. So they hired him and gave him a really good job. Because his philosophy was world domination of Hare Krishna, you see. So actually, it's not that you become spiritual that now, you know, you're just like some incompetent fool who can't function in the material world. No. If you're actually spiritual, now the Mayavadi type is spiritual, yes, but I'm talking about Vaishnava spiritual, which is the real spiritual. The Mayavadi, they say, oh, the material world, it's false. Those kind of people, yeah, how they can function? They won't be able to. Because they want to deny, oh, this company doesn't really even exist. You know, I don't really even exist. This job doesn't really exist. I mean, how can you do a, you know what I'm saying? My boss doesn't really exist. I mean, it may be nice to a nice philosophy when you to give you a little sense of peace of mind, but it's not very practical on Monday morning. You know what I mean? This job is false. It doesn't exist. Your paycheck also become non-existent too. But a Vaishnava, he can see everything in his proper utility. You see, he can use everything for Krishna. He sees everything as the property of Krishna. Therefore, everything should be used for Krishna. So he can use any situation in Krishna. He can use his job for Krishna. He can start his own business for Krishna. He can, whatever he's doing, he can use that for Krishna. And because he's using it for Krishna, Krishna gives him more and more and more power to even use it more successfully for Krishna. You understand my point? So whatever you're doing, offer that to Krishna, and Krishna will give you more power, more energy to offer even more to Krishna. So this is very practical philosophy. I can tell you this, as soon as people really understand what Krishna consciousness is, the whole world will come to join this movement. They just don't understand what it is yet, that's all. As soon as people actually understand what is this Krishna consciousness movement, the whole world will come and join us. I'm absolutely convinced the whole world will come and join us as soon as they actually understand what it is. But people just don't understand what Krishna consciousness is, that's all. Otherwise they would all come and surrender immediately. That's why we need to train all of you up to become fixed up Brahmins, second initiated, you see. Brahmins who can give teaching. Because I anticipate in the future we're going to have thousands and millions of people coming for training. And I can't train all of them. Our gurus, we're only about maybe 80 or 100 of us. You know, if millions of people coming, we can't do all the work ourselves. We need you all to become qualified teachers also, who are ideal examples. We need you all to become qualified teachers also, who understand this philosophy, who can quote the verses, you know, who can teach and guide people. We need hundreds and thousands of qualified teachers. Prabhupada said 10 million. We need all of you to become qualified teachers. So that when people start to wake up and realize what Prabhupada is doing, and as the material society starts to fall apart, how long will the petroleum last? Do you think we can go on running on petroleum forever? These cities like Melbourne, Sydney, they're based on petroleum. You understand? How much tillable soil do we have around here to grow our own food? We're dependent on gasoline to bring the food in from the countryside. If there's no gasoline, the more the gasoline gets expensive, the food prices will go up, 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 you see. I was recently in Finland, and I had the Charanamrita, and there was some leftover Charanamrita. I didn't want to pour it down the drain, so I was looking outside. Where is some soil so I can pour the Charanamrita in the earth? I couldn't find any soil. There was no soil to be found anywhere. Everything was concrete jungle, you see. So how you can grow food if there's no soil? You understand? When the oil is gone, we're going to have to get back to the soil, learn how to grow our food and survive. You see, but we don't know how to survive. How many people know how to work an ox to plow the field, you see? We're all dependent on oil, this petroleum-based culture. So as oil becomes more expensive and becomes unaffordable for the common person, people are going to have to get back to plain living and high thinking. They'll be forced by the economics. You see, the governments will have to start finding a way to let people have every family have their 1 acre of land and a cow, so everybody can survive nicely. You may say it's not practical, but I say the human civilization lived for thousands of years like that before the oil-based civilization arose, you see. I have the proof of history. For thousands of years, people lived on the family farms all over the world. The world civilization thrived for thousands and thousands of years like that. So as the oil becomes more and more expensive, I guarantee you this, people become more and more receptive to our message and become more and more receptive when they see that their whole civilization is falling apart. You see. In America, the people are shocked. They're paying $1 a gallon for gasoline. Now it's $4 a gallon. And when's it gonna stop? 400% increase in the price of the petroleum. You see, the people are going, and people are becoming shocked. How can we live? You see, so we can live very nicely. All we have to do is make Krishna the center again of our lives, and everything will be there. We don't have to be in anxiety. Krishna never lets his devotees starve. Never. All we have to do is be Krishna conscious, and even if there's chaos going on around us, Krishna will take good care of us. That's a fact. During the World War II, the Britishers in Calcutta created an artificial famine, and they played around with the prices on the commodities, and they created an artificial famine. People were starving to death in Calcutta, but Prabhupada never went hungry. Mm-hmm. He's Krishna's devotee. He never had any shortage of food. He was always very well fed. Even when people were starving all around him. So we remain fixed in Krishna consciousness. Then time and tide will wait for no man and everything will be fine. So I can ask now if there's any questions. You have a question? What's your question, Manaji?
The question is, should I explain Ahaitukiya Pratihata? That means, what is it called? Mature sense gratification and pure bhakti. Could you elaborate and explain?
The difference between a sense gratification and pure bhakti?
How far the sense gratification goes? What is the real meaning of sense gratification?
Sense gratification is based on the false identification with the material body. If you're thinking, if I say, okay, all the men raise your right hand, all the women raise your left hand, everybody will do it, right? That means you're an illusion. I just tricked you. You're not the body. Is it? Because, even though we're devotees, we're still thinking, I'm this body. And we think our happiness is based on satisfying the senses. I mean, how many times have we heard it? But we're still thinking and feeling as if we are the body. And our pleasure is based on the body. So that's where sense gratification comes from.
It says jnana karmadi anavritam. So where does that belong? Jnana and karma.
Jnana karma.
Does that come in the sense gratification?
Yeah, the jnani, they are also sense gratification on the subtle platform. They may be very austere from gross sense gratification, but Prabhupada explains the jnanis, they fall into the last snare of maya. They think, I am God. You see? That is, on the subtle platform, they're also sense gratifiers. Even they are strict mayavadi sannyasi, still, because they are thinking, they address one another, namo Narayan. They call each other Narayan. They become very proud that, yes, I am Narayan, I am God. You see? So that's another type of sense gratification, subtle sense gratification.
So one has to go beyond that.
One has to realize you're not God. You're not your body, but you're not God either. Both things you have to realize. You have to realize, I'm not this body and I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. And then one has to engage practically in the activities of Krishna consciousness. And then by that practical engagement, you will become solidly situated on the transcendental platform. And you'll become totally, completely satisfied. Do you understand? Any other questions? If there's no questions, that means it's time for me to go. All right, question.
In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita...
Which chapter?
Second chapter.
Second, okay. 66th. Okay.
Nasti buddhi raitasya na cha itasya bhavana na cha bhavaitaha shantiras shantasya kutaha sukham. It says that one who is not connected with the Krishna, he doesn't have transcendental intelligence and steady mind, and without which peace is not possible. Without peace, how can we be happy? So I want to know, what is the exact meaning of connection with Krishna? And when can we consider ourselves we are connected with Krishna? When we start chanting one round, can we connect and start thinking that we are?
Well, but give me one question at a time. I can't hear, my I'm a little hard of hearing. I picked up some of it. you're saying that what does it mean to be connected with Krishna?
Yes. How much we do that we are connected with Krishna? Can we be connected with Krishna while chanting one round?
Oh, what do you have to do to get connected? Oh, yes. Well, this is just described by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar Devotion. Actually, if you want to be fully connected with Krishna, you have to take diksha. Prabhupada says, without diksha, the connection with Krishna has not taken place. Now, if you're just chanting, you're starting off one round, two rounds, that means you're in the process of becoming connected. So that's good. But until you actually take diksha up in the bona fide spiritual master, you're not yet connected. You're just moving towards being connected. So Prabhupada clearly says this, that the connection with Krishna does not take place unless one has initiation. Of course, it's not just some ritual. You have to follow the orders of the spiritual master. You have to chant 16 rounds a day and follow the four regular principles. But if one actually is fixed in chanting and following the vows, his connection with Krishna is the revival of his eternal spiritual nature begins from the very moment of initiation. That diksha is a very important thing. So, are you initiated yet? Yes, but you need to get ready. How many rounds do you chant?
16.
Very good. You've taken shelter of a guru yet? You need to choose one of the nice gurus of ISKCON. Take shelter of him, and then which is the step of formal diksha. That's very important, because that diksha now that becomes completely solidly connected. Next question, yes.
How to meditate? Continuously on Krishna means sometimes.
Speak up.
How to meditate on Krishna Continuously 24 hours a day.
24 hours?
Yeah, sometimes the mind gets agitated with material senses and all. So how to overcome that?
The mind forgets?
Meditates on sense gratification. And
well, wow, if your mind is thinking of sense gratificatory object, you have to see who that object actually belongs to. And what is the real, in other words, you are thinking of enjoying some object, taking it as your property, you see. You have to say, wait a minute, that means I'm a thief. This belongs to Krishna. If I see a beautiful woman, instead of thinking of enjoying sex with that woman, you see, I should think, this woman should be engaged in Krishna's service. This is a graphic example. Instead of thinking of you enjoying yourself, you should think, this person should be engaged in Krishna's service. If you meet some wealthy businessman, thinking, how can I flatter him so he'll, you know, buy me a Rolls Royce car, you see. No, you think, how can I engage this person in Krishna's service? So anytime you have some sense gratificatory desire, you think, but no, that means I'm trying to steal the property of Krishna for my own pleasure. Let me think of using this in Krishna's service. And then you become freed up. Does that answer your question? Yeah. See, everything is the property of Krishna. If you use somebody else's property for your enjoyment, you're a thief. So don't be a thief. You have to see everything as the property of Krishna and use everything in his service. Next question. Yes.
Is Sayujya Mukti and Brahman realization the same thing, or still there is a difference? Is Sayujya Mukti and Brahman realization the same thing?
Sayujya Mukti.
Yes, they are. Yeah, they're the same thing. Sayujya Mukti and Brahman realization. Yeah. They're the same thing.
And what does one do? When one attains such a...
He falls down. That's what happens. Putanti adho. Arilya krishchena parang padam tadapa janjido nadaja yushmarangriya. Bhagavatam says, after achieving the Sayuja Mukti Brahman realization, they fall down. It's only a temporary leave of absence from the material existence. It's like when I was a young brahmachari in a Dallas temple years ago. We got one call from the prison. There was one inmate who wanted to come to the temple for the Sunday feast. So the prison authorities gave him a special pass. He could come for 5 hours to the temple. And then he had to go back to jail after the feast was over. So I drove about 20 miles east of Dallas to the low security prison. I picked him up, took him to the temple. You know, he had a great time, then I drove him back to the prison after the feast was over. So Brahman realization is like a temporary fast to the Sunday love feast. It's not even that good. You don't even get any prasadam. You just merge in Brahman. I am spirit, you see. I'm Brahmasmi. I am one with the spirit. I am the spirit. That's all. I no longer exist. It is all simply spirit now. I no longer there. I is no longer there. It's a temporary state. It's suspended with the sense of identity. It's suspended. You simply think, yes, now I'm not existing anymore. It is simply the Brahman. But then you have to come down again.
But that is also in the mind.
Yeah, but that's simply, but you still exist. Actually, you never lose your individuality. It is called vimukti maninas. It is liberation in the mind only. You think you're liberated, but you're not really liberated. You see.
So one cannot directly go from that platform to the spiritual world. One has to come down and then.
Well, there is a possibility that one could go from Brahman to Bhagavan realization, but it generally doesn't work that way. If one is envious of the Supreme Lord as a Mayavadi, they definitely cannot. Now, there are persons who advance to the level of Brahman realization, who then advance further, like the four Kumaras. But they were not envious of the Lord. You see. They had just didn't know anything other than Brahman realization. The Kumaras and Sukadeva Goswami also, those are two notable examples. They went from Brahman realization to Bhagavan realization. But if those who have envy against the conception of the Lord and they merge into Brahman, they're heading back down to the material world. And that's the majority of them. Those who go from Brahman to Paramatma are very, that's an exception to the rule. The rule is, those on Brahman level, they come down again in material existence. Questions, Mara? Yeah.
Speaking of sense gratification, if we engage our senses in bhakti, like suppose if I want to taste more prasadam, if I want to see more, if I want to smell more, is that also considered sense gratification?
If considering about sense gratification, if you take more prasadam, if you like to smell something more about flowers, and all those watching Krishna conscious videos or something more and more, is that also sense gratification?
Not necessarily. If you want to take, 55 gulab jamun, maybe. It just depends. The thing is that you take as much prasadam as you need to become energized and enthused to serve Krishna. That is the transcendental. If you take more than you need and you're getting sick, then that has become sense enjoyment. If you neglect all your... If you say, I'm going to watch Krishna conscious videos today, and you don't chant your rounds, then that was sense gratification. It's a matter of balance, actually. If you neglect all of your other duties in the name of watching videos, then it's obviously sense gratification. But if you do all your duties and you also watch some Krishna conscious videos to inspire and enliven you in your Krishna consciousness, that's very nice. Yes?
When you say that in order to connect to Krishna, we need to take a shelter of spiritual master.
Yes.
How does one know that this is a correct time to take shelter now?
Yes. You simply have to be sincere that you want to surrender to Krishna. Be completely sincere, my dear Lord, I now fully give myself to you. If you take that mood of complete, total surrender to Krishna, then he will, from in the heart, he will tell you when and where and who. The super soul will tell you exactly who and exactly when. You don't have to worry.
When one gets the human body, isn't that the time?
Why? Yes. Actually, when is when you have a human birth. When you're a human being, that means you must have Guru as soon as possible.
Otherwise, you're not human.
Otherwise, you remain animal, you see. Dvija. Diksha is your second birth. If you don't take dvija, second birth, then you're animal. You're not even human being. So therefore, as soon as possible, one should take diksha. So you should develop a very in serious mood. My dear Lord Krishna, now I fully surrender myself unto you. You kindly guide me. Who should be my spiritual master? When should I take shelter of him? And then Krishna, if you're sincere in your prayer, Krishna will tell you, this is the one, here he is. Now do it. You understand? Yeah. Questions more? So you're chanting 16 rounds?
Yeah.
So beg Krishna, my dear Lord, I'm chanting 16 rounds, I'm ready for initiation. Now you guide me, who's the one? Please bless me with understanding of who I should take shelter of as my guru.
Or one can follow Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita.
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, inquire from the spiritual master, submissively render service unto him. So, find that teacher where you can do that. or you have facility to inquire from him and render personal service to him. Find such a teacher. Questions more?
You yes. said Paramatma revealed you within your heart. You said Paramatma.
Yes.
Yeah. So, how we can understand that now Krishna is reciprocating and we should take step forward?
How can I understand?
That Krishna is reciprocating and we should take.
You have to beg him. I know that. Here's how it works. I remember in my days when I was searching for the path I should take, I was waiting for God to tell me, but I didn't hear the message coming. You see. I was waiting. So I wondered what to do. I'm not getting any instructions from the Lord of what I should do. So I was a little bewildered what to do. But then one day, someone told me that God could hear me. And I realized, yes, I can't hear him, but he can hear me. So I said, I'm just going to keep asking him and ask him and keep bugging him, to reveal to me what he wants me to do. So I just prayed, my dear Lord, please guide me how I can become your perfect servant. I prayed that every day. Dear God, please guide me how I can become your perfect servant, until there was a knock on the door. And they tell me, Vishnu Jamaraj is in town. He's going to be down the street here in 1 hour. So I went, and he introduced me to Prabhupada, you see. And I got my answer. You just have to beg Krishna to give you the answer. Keep begging him and begging him and begging him, intensely begging him, day after day after day after day. Keep begging him to guide you who should be your spiritual master. And then he will make it very clear. And if you're not getting an answer, you're not begging with enough intensity. That's all I can say. Your begging is too casual. It's superficial. You're not begging from the innermost core of your heart. If you beg from the innermost core of your heart, he will definitely quickly answer your prayer. You have to take your prayer deeper and deeper and deeper into the innermost core of your being, and then you'll get the answer very quickly. You understand?
Yes.
Yeah.
And as you said, once you feel that, yes, I'm ready to take initiative. But in this situation also, I feel that it fluctuates. Sometimes we become very sincere, sometimes we slack in devotional service. So
that means you're not very deep in bhakti. You're still skimming the surface of the ocean of nectar. You have to dive deeper into that ocean. You have to improve the quality of your japa. You have to go deeper into the holy names. You have to go deeper into Prabhupada's books. You have to go deeper when you take darshan of the deities. You have to go deeper. You realize there's a person standing there. Krishna is the person is actually standing here. He has come in Melbourne. This is his transcendental pastimes. This is his Melbourne pastimes happening right in front of my very eyes. You have to go deeper and deeper. And then everything will become very strong and very solid and very steady.
Yes.
Questions more? Everybody's ready now to seriously take it up. All right, since everybody's ready now, seriously take it up. Everyone's ready? Not everyone. Anyway, all we can do is request you to seriously take it up. So now, if you have any more questions, come to class tomorrow morning. So, Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.